Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss. Structure, accountability, results, a standard for weight loss in the area. It's emp180weightloss.com. It's Bish, EB, and JP Cakes in Kew Island on his week of vacation, as he goes every year. Three-man shows. But joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline to make it a four-man show for this segment is our pal Chris Russell, Redskins insider. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, fellas. Good morning. How are you?
So, Chris, I saw that you were opining about the Redskins running back situation with Darius Geis going down, and your opinion is that they shouldn't go out and get one of these vets, that they should just stay with the guys in-house.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a big loss, as you guys have been talking about all morning, as everybody knows. I'm not trying to say it's not a big loss, but I said this on Friday after we found out about the injury and before Jay Gruden had spoke. Is it a big loss? Of course. Does it rob us of something special on the offense, the fans, all the things you guys have been mentioning? You're absolutely right. Yes, yes, and yes. But I do feel like they are better equipped and prepared to handle this year from a timing and, more importantly, from a depth perspective. If you guys remember, you know, and you guys had me on, and I appreciate it, for a couple of segments right as camp was beginning, I talked about the depth on this team. Mm-hmm. Look, do they have a stud like Darius Geis to replace him? No. Chris Thompson is not a direct replacement for Darius Geis, but they at least have competent quality depth. And you heard what Hoffman said, what Chris Thompson said about Capri Bibbs and Byron Marshall. And look, we've got to see more of it. Game action, I get it. But this is better than Kenny Hilliard, Marcus Mason, Ogunlele, who, you know, guys you can't even pronounce. They have at least competent quality depth to overcome this. So the point of the column was, hey, you don't need to go right now and get Adrian Peterson. You don't need to go and be sentimental about bringing home Alfred Morris. A, he's washed up. B, Adrian Peterson's 33 and can hardly move anymore and can't stay healthy and is not a 5-7-8 snap a game guy. You don't need to do that right now. Maybe down the road you can. Don't do it now. See what you've got in the group of five that you have here.
I mean, we've been taking some calls too. I mean, I think most fans probably feel that way. The depth is there, obviously, but you're going to suffer more injuries. I mean, running backs just get hurt. We saw it last year with this team.
Right.
And if they were so happy with guys like Marshall and Bibbs, they wouldn't have drafted Geis in the second round. I mean, I think it's a bigger, I think it's a bigger loss than people think. I guess we won't know until he actually gets on the field in year two and if he has big years. But I think it just puts more pressure on guys like Chris Thompson. It's going to put a little bit more pressure on the passing game. It should be really good if they can stay healthy. That's the way I feel.
No, Jason, you're absolutely right about everything you just said, and it's BS what Jay said, that they were happy with the guys that they had, because Doug Williams, who, if you believe what they say, is the general manager, de facto general manager, spent all offseason, any chance they gave him, in front of a microphone, telling you how bad their running back situation was and how they needed a running back. And then, oh, by the way, they went out and drafted the first running back in the first two rounds in 16 years that they drafted. So, I mean, that tells you everything that they thought. Now, that being said, that was while losing Chris Thompson in, what, week 9, week 10 for the year? That was losing Rob Kelly essentially for the year in week 2, where he was really good against the Rams. I know he played in week 3, but he was never really healthy after that. He was gone for the year soon after that. P. Ryan now is in his second year. So there's reason why they should be a lot better if they stay healthy. And that's the problem, is right now I wouldn't do what I wrote about, i.e. Peterson, Al, Orleans, Darkwa, Jamal Charles, one of these big-name vets that people are going to clamor for. I wouldn't do that now. But if P. Ryan or specifically Rob Kelly, who does have an injury history and has a lack of being used a lot, does get injured for any significant amount of time, one of those two guys specifically, then absolutely you need to go make a move. Now the question is then, do you go out and again bring in a free agent, or do you try and trade for a guy? And that's going to be the, I guess, the million-dollar question that I don't have an answer for right now. I would think it's more likely they trade for a guy on a current roster as opposed to going out and signing a Peterson at 33 or an Alfred Morris.
Yeah. And if, there's always an option if guys get cut from other teams. You know, that's
right.
There's a nice battle in Denver. I don't even know who their running backs are, but
sure.
There could be a guy who's cut who they think they like and they could use. That could always happen.
Yeah. A small sample size. I'll give you one, right? Mm-hmm. The Jets are here in Richmond. I'm heading down to Richmond right now to go see practice this morning. They don't have a great running back situation, but Bilal Powell is their starting running back, and they signed Isaiah Crowell, who used to be with the Cleveland Browns. That's a tough, physical, in-between-the-tackles, low center of gravity running back that had some success in spurts and in spots behind a somewhat weakish offensive line in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't surprise me if things work out with the Jets and they feel good about their running back situation, if maybe towards the end of the preseason, if maybe they cut him loose, or maybe they make him available for a trade. Maybe they identify somebody that they need on the Redskins. Remember, they're going to see the Redskins three practices and in a game. Teams get a better feel when they can see eyeball, personnel level, and that's what these joint practices are always about, too, is that they get a better feel for your personnel. So maybe that's a situation to keep an eye on a couple of weeks from now down the road.
Devontae Booker would be your starting running back in Denver.
Oh, yeah, Booker, yeah. He's good, too.
Chris, what did we learn? I was on vacation. I only had the game on for like two series, and then I got bored. It just, if none of the guys are going to play, I'm just going to,
No, I hear you.
Did we learn anything, though? Who jumped out at you?
Yeah, I mean, I think, certainly Tim Settle on the defensive line. I love, not that he made a couple of tackles. Great, awesome that he recovered a fumble. I mean, he destroyed a fourth-line center. Fourth-string center on that fumble. That was good to see him pounce on a football. How many times have we seen a loose football where the Redskins haven't been able to recover it, right? So that's good. But more how he moves side to side, guys, even as he got tired, which is going to be the key with Settle, you can't ask him to play 40 snaps. You got to get off the field. They couldn't get off the field in the second half. They had two ridiculously long drives, the Patriots did, and they couldn't get off the field on third down. But that was a real positive. I bought two guys in the secondary, one in the first half, and, well, both really in the first half. Greg Stroman, the seventh-round kid out of Virginia Tech, was awesome. Big punt return, two big breakups on third down. And then Danny Johnson, who I know you guys have heard a lot about, undrafted kid, he had a couple of big third-down pass defenses. Really spry, really sharp. I thought both of them really stood out. Sean Deion Hamilton at times, the kid from Alabama, I thought he eventually, again, wore down in the third and fourth quarter. So that's something to kind of keep an eye on moving forward for Thursday night against the Jets. And then real quickly on offense, I liked actually what I saw to Samaje Perine. If he would just freaking hold on to the football, fellas, that's his problem. His hands are dipped in butter or oil or something. Dude, you've got to hold on to the rock if you're going to be anything in this league. It killed Matt Jones, and it's going to kill Samaje Perine if he doesn't hold on to the football. But I liked the couple of runs that I saw. He looked more aggressive. And then Cam Sims is another guy to keep an eye on. Kid out of Alabama, 6'5", 215, had a big 57-yard catch. I love how he used his footwork, his body awareness near the sideline, and then he used a little stiff arm to break free of a tackle and run for more. He had another big catch and twist and turn in practice yesterday. So to me, those were a couple of guys that stood out.
What is the status of Matt Ioannidis and his injury?
Ioannidis is week to week from what Jay Gruden said on Saturday, E.B. He's not going to play this Thursday against the Jets. I think he called them, I forget the term, said he's essentially a good pain in the ass is basically, kind of the way Jay described him, just like a guy that just will not stop, and a guy that is tough and a guy that will come back a lot quicker. I thought when it first happened, I was more worried about him than I was worried about the Geist injury, because I was on the air live at the time during the game, and I'm watching, and I'm like, oh, God, that's not good. So I was relieved to find out about Ioannidis. You know, I would say, again, he's not going to practice this week. He's not going to play this week. Hopefully he'll be able to return to practice next week and play against the Broncos, but I wouldn't be surprised if you don't see him again until Arizona.
All right, what can we expect in the next game? Like, are we going to see more of these guys? Who that didn't play will play, if you had to guess?
Well, I mean, I definitely think you're going to see Alex Smith for a series or two. I think Hoffman, what he told you guys, almost an hour ago, is right on target. I wasn't surprised at all that those guys did not play in the preseason opener. I wouldn't have been mad if they did, but I wasn't surprised at all that they didn't play, meaning most of the first stringers, especially with these practices with the Jets. So I think you will see a series or two, very first preseason typical-like for Alex Smith again. Maybe you see Trent Williams, probably not, just because, A, he's still coming back, and B, what happened yesterday, you do not want any escalation of what happened yesterday, A, in these two practices straight ahead today and tomorrow, and then certainly in a game with helmets and pads and all that, where, God forbid, Trent gets pissed off and he punches somebody and it breaks his hand or his wrist, and then Trent's lost for 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks. You don't want any of that. And I know that can happen to anybody, but you certainly don't want that to happen to Trent Williams. So I wouldn't think him, but most of the first team guys, your Dachshunds, maybe Jordan Reed, because he has looked much better in practice the times that I've been down in Richmond. Maybe he gets a series or two. That's what I would expect. Same thing for the defensive starters, your Kerrigans, your Normans, guys like that.
Chris, real quick, did anything jump out at you league-wide, throughout the first week of preseason? Some of the younger quarterbacks, Barkley in New York, anything jump out at you?
That's a great question. I mean, Barkley, definitely, Jason. That 43-yard run was awesome. I mean, he made a guy miss in the backfield. Kirk, obviously, dialing it up on his first throw of the game, in stride, perfect. The only other thing that I would say is the mess going on in Jacksonville. I don't know if you guys saw that, but I couldn't stand Dante Fowler coming out of Florida. The Redskins had him number one on their draft board, and I don't know if you guys remember, I was screaming not to take him. I thought he was overrated. McLuhan had him number one on his draft board. He went number three to the Jaguars. That guy's turned out to be a clown. I know he's a decent situational.
For people that don't know, what's going on in Jacksonville?
Yeah,
it's
so
like a war on the media?
He's had all sorts of off-the-field issues. Then he got suspended from the season opener. Then yesterday he got into two fights with two of his teammates, including Yannick Ngakoue, a former Terp, right, who had a big year last year. And then Jalen Ramsey went after one of the reporters who videotaped it. And now both of those guys have been suspended for the upcoming week of practices and preseason games. But it really goes back to Fowler, who's just a clown and who they have no faith and no trust in. And this guy was a top three pick. And I'm just glad the Redskins avoided that back a couple of years ago.
Yeah, we'll have to see how that plays out. All right, Chris.
Rooster.
Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Safe travels.
Thank
down
you,
to Richmond.
Appreciate you.
Yep.
Let me just say, Kirk Cousins may turn out to be fantastic. He threw four passes. I told you earlier, I saw this report that people in Denver were freaking out. Four passes from Case Keenum. He went one for four. And they were like, maybe they haven't solved their quarterback issue.
Look, I don't get caught up in what people do or don't do, what players do or don't do in the first week. But, got to talk about something when it comes to the NFL.
Look, I like
we're breaking down, fifth and sixth string receivers.
I agree. I like seeing what the rookies do. The young guys, proven guys who've been around for a while, it doesn't mean as much.
They'll be fine.
Alex Smith, he may go 7 for 7 this week, or he might go 0 for 7. It's not going to matter. Week one, week two, week three. That's when I'll make my assessment on how Alex Smith is doing this year as compared to past
seasons. I'll
tell
you this. I'm not doing a Kirk Cousins referendum every week.
I don't
care what he does in Minnesota. Throw for 10,000 yards.
It's going to be the lead story on the Junkies Blitz every week.
Not for me. For me, you won't hear me mention Kirk's production. I won't bring it up all year because I won't know.
Because
I don't care. I don't pay attention.
Well, you will know because it'll be all over Twitter.
And only been team. People tell me. It's not going to be something I'm following.
You'll be aware because the Vikings are really good. And if Dalvin Cook lives up to, there's a guy, by the way, you were talking about.
Gets
guys
hurt
who
first
tear
year.
Their ACL. And I don't know if that was before that his first ever carry.
No, that happened in the regular season.
Right.
That
it was very
first
early.
Week. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of question marks with him, too.
All right, remember, Steve Sands from the Golf Channel is going to join us coming up at 8:40. Can we talk a little Nationals next?
Sure.
Because there's some details that Ryan Madsen put out about his own condition and what's going on if he is having all of these issues that he's trying
problems.
To close games. We'll get into the Nationals woes next as they lose a heartbreaker last night. Max Scherzer with the gem, but they blow it in the ninth inning with the walk-off grand slam by the Cubs. We'll get into that next here on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. We'll talk about Tiger Woods, the PGA Championship, Brooks Koepka at 8:40 with our pal Steve Sands from the Golf Channel. He's also a local sports fan. So yes. We can get his take on the Redskins situation, which I'm sure he'll be distraught about.
It's mostly going to be about Tiger and
I agree,
Brooks Koepka.
But we can just get a quick Darius Geis take on Sands, who's usually very negative, like most DC sports fans, about the landscape of DC sports, although things change with the Caps winning the Cup.
And he's a huge Caps fan.
Yes.
Yes.
But we wanted to talk a little bit about the Nationals. So the Nationals had that huge four-game series with the Braves. They ended up salvaging a split. Didn't make a move in the standings there. And then big series against the Cubs over the weekend. They get smacked around on Friday, if I recall, but bounce back on Saturday. And then it's looking good last night because Max Scherzer goes seven innings, pitching a gem. They do enough offensively where they have a lead because I think they only had one hit on Cole Hamels.
Correct.
Cole Hamels has been really good for the Cubs.
He's been really good.
And that was one of those guys who they were talking about potentially picking up. The Cubs instead make the move for Cole Hamels. He goes seven innings, allows just one hit. But look, it comes down to the ninth inning. And in the ninth inning, they bring in, because Sean Doolittle, their closer, still not available, they bring in Ryan Madsen.
By the way, they didn't get smacked around on Friday. They lost 3-2.
Okay, it was 3-2.
So they lost both of those games by a run. But go ahead.
I'd forgotten. I just all these games are blending together. Maybe they got smacked. Who cares? They lost.
They actually smacked the Cubs around on Saturday, won that game 9-4.
Comes out in the ninth inning, and the choice is Ryan Madsen to close the game. Part of the reason he's the choice is they trade away Brandon Kinsler.
Correct.
And
to the Cubs.
They got rid of Kelly. Not that Kelly was going to be the guy who's going to be closing in this situation, but he has. And so it comes down to Ryan Madsen. And Ryan Madsen gives up a game-winning grand slam. Ryan Madsen, after the game, talks about how he's having pains. You have the quote in front of you. What exactly is he describing?
Well, first of all,
because this isn't the guy that you think should be getting the ball to close if you're having this situation.
In the game, up 3-0, he allows an infield single, and then he hits two batters back-to-back.
And the infield single was Defoe botched, from what I'm reading.
Yeah, I didn't see that, but he did hit two batters. Then, of course, Bote hit the grand slam walk-off. But his quote was, sometimes he says that a reoccurring back issue is what affected his control because he started feeling it in warmups. And he says, sometimes it will shoot down the leg, sometimes it won't. That's really the truth of the matter, just trying to fight through it. Not everybody feels 100% all the time, but this one's pretty big, so I'll lose basically position control over the ball. So he felt this.
Kind of big when you're closing a game.
Well, and he felt it in warmups.
Right.
So I don't know why he didn't tell someone, hey, my back's bothering me, I can't go, or if he's, like he said, just going to try and fight through it.
Well, maybe they're out of options, because who else
would
you out there? Now, Kota Glover, I think, pitched the eighth, right?
Let's see. Let me see who pitched the eighth here. But my point is, if you're not feeling 100%, I don't think you can go out there and take this, especially in a huge game where you have to win. Yes, Glover pitched the eighth. But you're telling me that Mattson's the only other guy that they can go to? You can't put someone else in there if you're not feeling 100%? I don't get that. But it's again, just, maybe he just said, like he said in the quote, he said, I just try and fight through it. But he obviously, it was obviously bothering him if he hit back-to-back batters.
Do you put the blame on Davey, the manager here? I told you some people were tweeting us at Junks Radio saying that we really need to get on Rizzo about this, that Rizzo has created this bullpen situation by getting rid of Kinsler and getting rid of Kelly, so all of a sudden the bullpen's not as deep. Or do you put this on the player? Because maybe Mattson, if you're having like shooting pains down, the point you can't control your pitches and you're hitting two batters, maybe he's got to speak up before the game.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, so maybe Davey didn't know.
So who do you put it on? 800-636-1067. I don't know who you put it on. It's just typical for this team this year. It's just not happening for them. We keep waiting for them to make a move. It's not happening. The other teams aren't pulling away, by the way, because I look at the lead, still 5.5.
If they win that game, they're 4.5 back.
Right. They could be putting pressure on the Phillies and Braves.
That's a crushing loss. It really is. That's a big one.
I said this last week. They have the tougher of the schedules remaining when you match them up against the Phillies and the Braves right. remaining schedules.
But the bullpen has been an issue ever since Doolittle went out. They yes. really can't rely on anybody down there to close out a game since he's been out. Like, apparently, he's pretty close. But Mattson's had a tough year. He really
has. His ERA is over 5.
He's had a tough year, and maybe this back problem's the reason. But, man, if you are feeling pain down your leg in warmups, and they're going to go to you on the road in a 3-0 game, and did you have to win?
What were his options, though? Who else could he have gone to that you trust?
Well, you maybe pitch Glover second inning.
Anybody who doesn't have a back problem?
I mean, Glover's been there for a minute.
You bring in your guy Sammy Solis?
Sammy Solis is terrible. Everybody knows him. He's there to only get lefties.
Well, obviously, Davey felt like that was the best option, but maybe he didn't know. But if he's hitting batters, and the reason he's hitting batters is because he can't control the ball because he's having pain down the leg?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty big issue.
I agree. I still know. I mean, again, in hindsight, you put options. Anybody better.
Again, but. He doesn't have the options he had because Kelly's gone and Kinsler gone.
Right.
Those are Rizzo decisions.
Yeah, like you said, Kelly's not a big loss. I mean, you're not going to go to Kelly in that situation anyway.
You might if you're down, guys. You might in this situation.
Kelly's
if you guys hurt.
Four.
Yeah. You might.
I wouldn't have trusted him either. But I'm certainly not going to trust a guy who has a back problem.
All right, let's go to John in Woodbridge. John, what's up? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, good.
Yeah, I think the blame's on all three. Mattson definitely should have let them know in warm-ups if he was feeling pain, and they should have done something about it and at least looked into other options.
Didn't they just trade for Greg Holland? Was Greg Holland not available?
Good point. They got Holland.
I mean, they got Holland. Was he not?
They did get Holland.
I mean, I would think he would have been available unless he's hurt, and I don't know. But they have other options.
Kelly and Kinsler, though. They traded away both Kelly and Kinsler. I think they should have kept Kinsler.
Right.
Well, like I said, I mean,
they were to Kinsler because he was the source, right? Supposedly,
yes.
The guy was kind of bad mouthing Davey.
Well, that was alleged. But then the one story they were pointing to, the passage story, he said definitely wasn't the source,
right?
So who knows? But even Chelsea James, who covered the team, said that he was quote the squeaky wheel there.
Mm-hmm.
So take that for whatever it's worth.
I would agree. Mattson would have been the guy. That's my number one choice. But maybe, not if he's having back issues.
Could they have gone to Justin Miller? He had pitched was he available?
Maybe. He didn't pitch last night.
I know, but was he available?
I'm sure
you never know
was.
Who's available and who's not.
I'm sure he was. They had other options. It's not like Mattson was the only guy they can go to. But if Mattson didn't tell anybody his back was bothering him, then it's on him. It's not on Davey.
Yeah. This is just a microcosm of the season. Just blown games, blown opportunities. You know, it might, you know, to me, I'm not going to focus too much on this one dumb game. This is just sort of symptomatic of kind of how the whole season is gone. And it's just one of those years.
It's one of those years where it's just not going to happen.
Just not going to happen. Now, maybe it does. Maybe they pull it out and they win like 8 straight and they come some miracle comeback.
But that's a game.
That'd be great.
That's a game you have to win. You're up 3-0. That's a game you should win.
I would think more often than not they're going to win that game. I'm going to say 96% of the time they're going to win that game.
Correct.
They just didn't.
And then when you have Mattson out there hitting guys and then gives up the walk-off slam, and then you find out after the game that his back was bothering him and he's feeling pain down the leg, I think that's the bigger story.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Grant. Grant's listening. I'm sure he wants to chime in. He's a big Nats guy.
You going
to
blame it on Dusty?
Grant, what's
up? What up, fellas?
What's up, Grant?
How's it going?
Hey.
So, first things first, you can't pitch Greg Holland in that spot. Greg Holland is not any good. He walked 22 batters in 25 innings and got cut by the Cardinals with an ERA of 7. Mm-hmm. They signed him and they should have sent him to AAA. Somehow he's already getting high-leverage situations here. But he goes to 3 balls with everybody, and every time he doesn't walk someone, it feels like a miracle. I don't know what they're supposed to do right now. If Madsen's hurt, and look, Davey Martinez looks like a first-year manager a lot and has a lot of warts and problems, but I don't think you can blame him for last night at all. He goes to his best A defense in the 9th inning. Wilmer Depot commits an error that they ended up ruling a hit.
Right.
That cost them. And then he goes to the guy in his bullpen right now who's the most experienced, accomplished leading reliever they have, in Madsen. My question to you guys is, everyone's blowing up my timeline last night saying, well, why didn't he pull him after he hit 2 batters? They basically anointed Madsen their closer less than a week ago. They're up 3-0 and he hasn't given up a run. So you're supposed to pull the cord on your new closer when you've got essentially 2 closers on the disabled list to go to who? Justin Miller? I mean, that would have been the other option. He's their 8th inning guy right now, who's basically been mediocre and was plucked off the scrap heap at the beginning of the season off waivers. I just don't know what the option was
I understand what you're saying. The only issue I would have is if I know that Madsen has a back problem, I'll go to Holland.
Yeah.
I'll go to Holland 100 times out of 100 over that guy. But if he didn't tell anybody, yeah, I agree with you. There's no one else you can go to. And obviously he was having some issue if he's hitting guys back to back. I mean,
here's the other thing.
But maybe he didn't tell anybody.
And Herrera had the exact same thing happen, remember, when he blew a game going back, a week or so ago before he went on the disabled list?
Yep.
Where it was after the game that everybody found out he's hurt, and apparently nobody knew it. So you're in a situation, I guess, where you're 5.5 games out and everyone's trying to play hero ball. Part of this culture that you're pitching with issues and you don't want to tell anyone, I think, has been created by the fact that you're undermanned because you did get rid of Kelly when he threw his glove and you traded Kinsler because of the conversation he had, I guess, with the Washington Post in a story going back through the All-Star break. But yeah, I don't think they have a good answer. I don't necessarily know who to blame other than your 2 closers are on the disabled list. Your 3rd option last night stunk up the joint, but it was a 3-run game. It wasn't like it was 1-0.
You're
and
right.
He hadn't given
you're
up a single run before the grand slam. You don't see relievers yank guys generally. Managers yank relievers when they've yet to give up a run. If he gets a base hit there and it becomes 3-2, then I think you go to Justin Miller. But to pull the plug before that pitch, I don't think most managers in baseball would have done that. But who do you go get now, though?
Grant,
I think you need Doolittle back.
Grant, we got to run. Maybe your solution is anytime Max is on the mound, you just don't take him out. And I know that's
just
ridiculous.
Just let him throw 200 pitches.
I get it.
I'm done shtick, but I'm with you. I mean, I'll take... Look, if he's down around, I think he was right over like 105 last night when he got pulled. Maybe you let him go to 115, 117, and you just empty the chamber. The problem is you got a couple years left on that contract, and I'm not sure if it's worth it for a stretch run, whereas you guys said they're probably not going to catch.
It just sucks when you waste the max.
Like I said, I don't pull him either unless I know he's got a back problem, and I'm not even putting him out there. But if he's not going to tell me that he's not feeling well, then I got to assume he feels 100%. So I would agree with that part.
All right, that's Grant Paulson.
You guys think that game carries over? You think they're cooked?
I don't
probably.
Know. I think they're cooked before the game.
Yeah, I think
7 back in the loss column.
They were probably cooked 3 weeks ago, but that's a game you have to win.
All right, listen to Grant, of course, 10 o'clock.
Thanks,
with
Grant.
Danny. Coming up next, Steve Sands from the Golf Channel as we shift and talk some PGA Championship and Tiger Woods. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Join us right now, our pal from the Golf Channel, Steve Sands, who's a huge DC sports fan. You know, during the break, Grant Paulson came in here and kind of extended the conversation about the Nats blowing it last night. But I know you're a big Redskins fan, too. Kind of give us your take. Okay, you had the Stanley Cup run, which was great. I think you went to one of the games. You love that. But these other teams are just heartbreaking. Darius Geis out with the ACL. What do you think, Steve?
It was a Redskins type of injury, wasn't it? A lot of promise. Everybody was happy to have him. Kind of a troubled kid doing well. And then all of a sudden, he's out for the season. You know, what are you going to do? That's football, man. That's all right. I think the Skins are going to be sneaky good. I think they're going to sneak up on some people. And big first couple of games in the season. But the Geis thing was just a massive blow. But at least it happened earlier in the preseason so that the Skins can actually maybe kind of make up ground a little bit, give some guys some more reps, kind of refigure, you know, figure things out a little bit, recalibrate a little bit. And it was a brutal injury, man. I feel bad. Mostly I feel bad for the kid. I feel right. terrible for him because I think he was really going in the right direction.
Absolutely. And I don't think he was troubled. I think he had a reputation coming out of the draft, but I think that, you know, he's
there was a lot going on there, man.
Yeah, but who knows what's true? I mean, he's proven he's a pretty good kid. All right, but anyway, yeah. let's talk about yesterday.
I feel terrible for the kid. I feel awful that happened to him.
What was the?
I hate the preseason, man. The preseason's got to go, Lurch.
Well, what are you
I hate
supposed
that
to,
preseason?
Well, what are you supposed to do?
Well, I mean,
maybe
they do it in college,
scrimmages.
Man.
Go right from
scrimmages.
Go right from an inter squad scrimmage to week one. You got to
no. How about scrimmage against?
Why they do? Tell me what. Tell me other than money, other than they do in college. Mm-hmm. Tell me other than money, other than greed by the owners. Tell me why you have to have the preseason.
You don't have to have four games. I think you probably need two.
Why?
What about two scrimmages?
Why?
I'm not talking about inter-squad.
Why do you need preseason?
I don't even think two scrimmages does it because you want to see what
other than money. Look, my dad has had season tickets to the Skins for 100 years. All right. Griffith Stadium, all right, RFK, and now FedEx Field. There is no reason that any season ticket holder, anybody who makes a good living, who makes a decent living, anybody who wants to go to Skins games, who has season tickets, has to pay for two extra games, full boat. It is absurd. It is total greed by the owners. There is no reason whatsoever, none, to have the preseason in professional football, especially now when you're supposedly looking after people with head injuries and supposedly looking after people as far as that. You can evaluate talent. Those coaches, those scouts, they're great. They are the best in the business. They do not need the preseason. It's
well, they could
greed.
Also get hurt, and they could get hurt in a scrimmage, too.
Yeah, I mean, yes, they could.
And there's
but
no,
it happens more
and
in
Steve,
preseason.
There is no action like live game action. You can't even compare it to scrimmages.
I understand that.
I think you need two games at most, not four.
But it's greed. Please admit that. It's all about the money.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to disagree there. But, I mean, there's been preseason games forever. I mean, were you saying this back in 1985?
If I was a coach, I wouldn't play any of my guys, man. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it's terrible.
We can argue about this all day, but we want to talk about yesterday. First of all, what was the bigger story for you, the fact that Koepka held Tiger off or that Tiger made the charge?
Well, the bigger story yesterday was that the Nats continued to just break our hearts late in the game. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing yesterday, the winner. I think that, you know, I know everybody wants to say that Tiger had the second place finish, made the charge, and that's the bigger story. The biggest story to me is always winning. Winning is so hard.
Yeah.
It's the hardest thing to do in all of sports, Jason. And you've got to be able to look at that entire day yesterday and give it to Brooks Koepka. Not you can give all the love in the world to Tiger, but the most love has to be received by Brooks Koepka. He went out there and balled, man. He was great.
Yeah.
He was great yesterday.
Yeah, but why is it, and I think we all agree, that like Koepka deserves it, deserving champion, three majors in the last two years. I mean, it's insane what he's doing. But it's just not as exciting. And he just mauled the course, but it's not as exciting as watching Tiger's roller coaster ride. It just isn't.
Well,
I don't know why.
Let me ask you a question. How great would it be if Riggins put on 44 again and became a running back for the Skins again?
Right.
How great would it
but
be
it's
if Elvin
been
Hayes
that way
came back?
Tiger.
How great. But it has. But that's because we all love. Look, I thought it was amazing. I couldn't turn it off. Yeah. And look, it was incredible. And I think it's awesome. It was the same way when we had it at the Open at a couple of weeks ago at Carnoustie. You couldn't turn it off. It was incredible. Everybody loves a comeback story. Everybody now is in love with Tiger because not only because he's the best player of his generation, but because he's acting a little bit better and he's trying to come back and he's doing it in a more congenial way. And it's an amazing story based on where he was, because not only there's personal, you know, issues, but also the health issues and that kind of stuff. It's a great story, and it's amazing. There's no question about
Steve,
it. But winning, nothing replaces winning. Brooks Koepka just goes about his business in a different way. He's just not as dynamic as Tiger, and he's also not as great as Tiger has been.
Right.
It's
I saw something yesterday that Tiger I had never seen from Tiger. And
when
Koepka comes off the course, Tiger's sitting there waiting for him. I had never seen that ever before with Tiger.
Listen. We've been talking about this now for a few months over the summer from the Masters on. The reason I don't think he's going to win one of these things is because of that kind of stuff. That's not who he is.
Is he too nice?
Or at least not who he was. And he's trying to be as great as he was, but do it in a different way. He was an assassin. All right, an assassin, and that's what we loved about him.
I think
that's
still is
he was
on the
so
course.
Great.
He had that look.
I think he still is on the course.
He had that look yesterday.
Everybody wants to say he had that look. Everybody wants
you don't
to
think
say
he
had that look. Well, I mean, of course he had that look. Of course he wanted to win. Let me ask something. Does he make that bogey at 14 10 years ago?
No, he doesn't.
He was more consistent as a player. I don't think it has to do because he's trying to be nicer off the course.
I think he's more consistent. There's no question. Yeah. Does he make that bogey at 14?
No.
Never.
Well, because he would have been better. He was better then.
Well, he's not that player anymore. That's the thing.
Correct. That's my point. Let me ask you this. Is he a little bit less of a putter? Yes or no?
Maybe. He didn't show it yesterday, but maybe.
I think he's less consistent.
Yes.
Yeah, he's not as consistent.
Is he a little bit less of a driver of the golf ball?
Yeah.
I think he's a lot less of a driver.
Is he a little bit less at putting the ball proximity to the hole to give himself as many chances?
Steve,
yes or no?
Steve.
Yes. I don't
think
so. Steve, I think he's great.
Steve, you made a good point. I've been saying this since his comeback. It's so much harder for him to win now than it would. Because Tiger Woods had 8 birdies in the final round of a major and lost the tournament. There's no chance that has ever happened before.
And here's why. He's a little bit older, obviously, and he's not as great as he was, obviously. Nobody can be. That's impossible. But the biggest thing to me, by far, is that because of his absence in the game, and we've talked about this before, because of his absence in the game, he has allowed guys to feel comfortable in uncomfortable positions. Brooks Koepka has won 3 majors in his last 6 major championship starts. Mm-hmm. He didn't play the Masters this year. So in the last 6 majors for him, he's won 3 of them. Nobody had a run like that when he was at his best, Tiger Woods meeting, because he used to slaughter the field. So Justin Thomas has won a major. Jason Day's won a major. McIlroy's won 4. Spieth has won 3. Now Koepka has won 3. It's not that Tiger can't be as good as those guys. It's just that he's playing against guys now who are comfortable in those big spots. And that's because
they're all
young. They have no nerves. And they've gotten to the finish line. Phil Mickelson didn't win his first major until he was 34 years old, man. 34 years old, the 2004 Masters, all right? Mm. These guys, Koepka's won 3. He's already 28. He's only 28. McIlroy, 4. He's 29. Spieth and Thomas are 24. These guys are young. They don't care. And they love Tiger. They love him. They respect him, and they love him. But they're not afraid of him. The other guys in Tiger's era, Phil, David Duval, VJ,
Feared him.
When he had eight birdies and shot 64, the tournament was over.
But let me just say this.
It's not like that now.
Tiger beat all of them but Brooks. Okay. He beat all of them. He beat Jordan, he beat Rory. Okay. I mean a club pro beat Rory.
Well, he smoked Rory.
I mean, he beat all of them but one. And Brooks is not gonna play like that every week. And there is going to be a few times, and I think one or two of them will probably be a major, but maybe not. But there are going to be times where he beats all of them. Mm-hmm. And it's just going to happen. I can't predict, oh, is it going to be a major? Oh, is it not going to be a major? But he's going to win again. And I just think it's silly to think he's not.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you know what, Steve? The bigger story, you're right, is Brooks winning it. And he should get more love, especially when he compared to Ricky Fowler and DJ. Because I think he's better than those guys.
Oh, man. Oh, God. I totally agree with you. Yeah. Look, at this kid has put himself in a different category with his major championship play. Now, he needs to be more consistent throughout the season. Mm-hmm. He's not winning tournaments. You know, Dustin Johnson has won 19 times. You know, McIlroy, whatever, 15 times, whatever it is. Spieth, 14 times. These guys are winning. Justin Thomas is now, I believe, close or right there at double digits as far as mm-hmm. victories. Yeah. You know, these guys are winning. He's won once on the PGA Tour. And yeah. believe me, you would rather win three majors than win only one PGA Tour event added on to that. But, however, to be the best player in the world, to be considered that, as opposed to just being a guy who goes to the majors and wins, which is the most important thing in golf. However, consistently throughout the year, Brooks Koepka, for whatever reason, does not show that type of game at regular events. But, man, has he put himself in a different category right now. Three majors, man. You got to be kidding me. This guy can go. And he can go on any type of golf course. It's not as if he's a, you know, a one type of golf course kind of player. He can play anywhere, anytime. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he won a Masters. The Open might be the most difficult for him, his style of play. But,
right.
I mean, he can really, really play. And he has a ton of nerve and
he's
poise.
Got moxie. He's got moxie.
The biggest thing, I think, is his nerve.
He's got moxie and he's confident.
He's unfazed.
And he doesn't look like he'll buckle. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, yeah.
We got to run.
He's tremendous, man.
We got to run to give us a break sign. Thank you, Steve.
What's Madsen doing right now? Did they let him on the plane to St. Louis?
I don't know what's going to happen there.
Huh? Yeah,
I don't know. He's complaining
probably
about
going, you know what? He'll go on the DL. That's what will happen. They all do.
Four and a half back going into deck. Come on, man. Let's go, fellas.
They can't get over
Thank you,
hump.
Steve.
All right, Steve.
Thank you, buddy. Steve Stans, everybody, from NBC.
Very
and,
opinionated.
Golf Channel.
Very opinionated, Steve Stans.
All right, coming up next, we'll get back into the Maryland Terrapin situation. ESPN breaking the story about the toxic culture there. Of course, there was a death and just these details. They put DJ Durkin, the head coach, on administrative leave. Brian McNally is all over the story. We'll talk to him next here on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.